All right, let's dive into vector databases.
Sounds good.
Think of them as like specialized systems
Yeah.
built to handle the tricky world of searching and analyzing those high-dimensional vectors.
Yeah.
You know, if you're anyone working with AI or machine learning, you've probably run into these. They're basically the libraries that help algorithms find similar things.
Yeah, that's right. And I, you know, as we work with more and more unstructured data, like
Yeah.
images, text, and audio, vector databases are becoming super important. I mean, they're really the driving force behind things like those recommendation systems, those
Oh.
crazy accurate recommendations, or lightning-fast image searches, even fraud detection systems.
Okay, cool. So for this deep dive, we're going to focus on Shapelets, VectorGB, and Qtrint, two big names in the vector database world. And we've got some benchmark results that pit these two against each other, head to head.
Oh, cool.
Real-world performance showdown. So we're talking about, how fast they can process data, how accurately they find those similar items, and how much traffic they can handle before they start to break down.
Yeah, and that's what's so cool about these benchmarks. We get to see how these databases perform in actual applications. I mean, anyone can talk about theoretical stuff, but seeing how they handle a real-world workload, that's what separates the good from the bad.
Totally. So this benchmark used a data set called Cohere, massive collection of text embeddings used in a ton of natural language processing applications. Imagine a library the size of a city, packed with books, a good vector database. It's like having a librarian who can instantly point you to the exact book you need.
Perfect analogy. And to test these databases, this benchmark focused on four key metrics: index building time, recall, latency, and maximum queries per second.
Okay, so let's break those down. Index building time. That tells us how quickly the database can organize the vector data so it's ready to answer your questions, kind of like how long it takes to organize all the books in a library.
Exactly.
And recall, that's basically the database's accuracy rating, how good it is at finding the most similar items to what you're searching for. So is it returning the most relevant results or not?
Yeah, like, is it giving you good recommendations or sending you on a wild goose chase?
And then there's latency, which
Yeah.
is all about speed, how fast the database spits back an answer.
Yeah.
And this is really important if you need results immediately, like for recommendations on an e-commerce site. I mean, nobody wants to wait forever to get a movie suggestion.
Right. Makes sense.
And finally, maximum queries per second, or QPS. This tells us how much traffic the database can handle at once. So if you have an app that needs to handle a ton of user requests, this is a big one.
For sure.
And what's really interesting here is that the benchmark was run on a normal laptop, like something you'd find in any office. Makes the results super relevant.
Yeah, totally.
So, drum roll please, the results are in. Shapelets VectorDB consistently outperformed Qtrint across all four of those metrics.
Wow.
And it wasn't even close in some cases.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was. Like Shapelets was sipping lemonade while Qtrint was running a marathon. They both finished, but one was definitely more relaxed about it.
So for applications where speed and accuracy are really important,
Yeah.
it sounds like Shapelets has a clear advantage.
Absolutely. And on top of all that, Shapelets is also known for its low memory footprint. So that means cost savings,
Oh, wow.
which is huge when you're working with so much data. All
Definitely.
right, so we've covered a lot of ground here. We'll dig deeper into these results in part two. We'll also explore how they translate to different use cases and uncover what might be driving Shapelets' impressive performance.
Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Stay tuned.
All right, so we're back, diving deeper into the world of vector databases. And as we hinted at earlier, there's a lot more to unpack.
Definitely. So we saw that Shapelets VectorDB consistently outperformed Qtrint in the benchmarks. Remember, index building time, recall latency, and maximum queries per second.
Right.
And these were all done on a standard laptop. Makes the results even more relevant.
For sure, for sure.
So let's start with that index building time. Shapelets was so much faster at getting its index ready to handle queries, almost like it had a head start.
Yeah, and that speed probably comes from its indexing structure, prioritizes efficient data organization.
And recall, that's how good the database is at finding similar items. Shapelets had consistently higher recall rates, so it was more likely to pinpoint those relevant data points.
Which is huge. Think about a recommendation system. High recall means you're recommending the best stuff, leading to happy users.
And then we have latency, the time it takes to get an answer from the database. Shapelets was consistently faster here, too.
Yeah, it seems like Shapelets has a more streamlined query processing mechanism, so it can retrieve results really efficiently.
Now, if you're expecting lots of users at the same time, you need to look at the maximum queries per second. Shapeless was better here as well, able to handle a higher volume of queries without breaking a sweat.
Yeah, I think that comes down to its architecture. It can process more queries at the same time without sacrificing speed or accuracy.
Okay, so we've seen that Shapeless performs really well. But what about cost?
Right.
And this is where Shapeless really shines, because of its low memory footprint.
Which means cost savings.
Exactly. Vector databases can be real memory hogs.
So Shapeless can reduce your costs significantly.
And free up resources for other things.
It's a win-win.
Totally. Now, it's important to say that QGRENT does have some strengths. It's really good at filtering. So if you have complex search criteria, it might be a better choice.
Right. So it all comes down to your specific needs.
Exactly.
In part three, we'll talk about what you should consider when choosing a vector database. And we'll look at the broader implications for the future of AI.
Because as datasets get bigger, choosing the right database is going to be even more critical.
Stay tuned. Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive. It's been a wild ride through the world of vector databases, but we're not quite done yet.
Yeah, we've seen some impressive results from Shapeless VectorDB, especially in terms of performance and cost.
For sure. But as we said before, benchmarks are just one piece of the puzzle.
Exactly. Choosing a database is about finding the right tool for the job.
So let's zoom out and look at some key factors. First, you got to think about the data. Yeah, what kind of data are you working with?
Right. Text images or something else. And how much data is there?
Some databases handle certain types of vectors better than others.
And you need a database that can scale with your data. Otherwise, you'll run into trouble.
For sure.
Then there's performance. How quickly do you need those answers?
Yeah, some applications need real-time responses, like trading systems or fraud detection.
Exactly. And for those, low latency is super important.
Right.
But other applications might not be as time sensitive.
Right.
And how crucial is accuracy? If you need to be absolutely sure you're getting the right results, you need a database with high recall, like Shapeless.
Absolutely.
And of course, we can't forget about cost.
Yeah, those costs can add up quickly.
Hardware, software maintenance.
And that's another area where Shapeless shines.
Its low memory footprint can save you a lot of money.
Definitely.
And finally, don't underestimate user friendliness.
Some databases are easier to use than others.
Right. So think about your team's skills.
Yeah.
And choose a database that fits their expertise.
It's all about finding that balance between performance cost and usability.
Exactly. There's no one perfect database for every situation.
And as we wrap up, let's leave you with one final thought.
Okay, hit me.
We talked about how performance gaps might widen as data sets grow.
Right. More data, more problems.
Exactly. So what does that mean for AI development?
Will we see even more specialized databases emerge? Or will existing databases evolve to handle these challenges?
It's a question worth pondering.
Definitely. But for now, we'll leave you with that. If you want to learn more, check out the links in the show notes.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
And we'll see you next time.